Over my past 10 years of working as a coach, I had the opportunity to talk to so many different people about what they desire, what they truly want, what they are going after in life. And the answers are pretty much the same for almost every one of us. What do we really want? We want a fit, vibrant body. We want to feel energized. We want to develop deep, meaningful relationships. We want to thrive financially. We want to spread our gifts. We want to build a successful business or have a fulfilling job. But underneath all of that is just the desire to feel love, the desire to feel peace, the desire to feel joy and bliss and fulfillment. I think this pretty much sums up what all of us are going for in this incarnation. And there are many different paths to get that and to create a life that just feels right on every level. But there is one topic that is for me such a no-brainer, such a low-hanging fruit that has an enormous effect on all of these things that we desire in life. That I can't comprehend how not everybody is super into this topic, because it amplifies everything that we are doing if we are conscious and if we are making the right decisions. And that at the same time distracts us big time when we are not careful with our decisions in this area of life. And that decreases our life force energy and makes everything else that we desire in life so much harder, if not impossible, to accomplish or to reach or to manifest. And this is the topic of nutrition. Today we're going to talk about food, and I'm so excited for that. Oh. And I want to share with you why over the past month I opened a new chapter in my search for the ultimate way of eating and nourishing our bodies. A book that I opened like consciously 13 years ago. I want to tell you the story, how I transitioned my diet overnight, like radically, from eating mostly fast food, going to McDonald's and heating up a pizza in the oven. That was my, and in the morning, cereals with milk. That was my base, my diet in my teenage years. And then when I turned 20, I shifted that radically, like the most radical shift you can imagine. And although I did this radical shift 13 years ago, I still had a lot of work to do over these past almost 1.5 decades. And now, over the past months, I realized that another door is opening. And right now, I feel so energetic every day as I never felt in my entire life before. Like I would so love for you to feel how I feel in my body, and the vibrancy and the energy that flows through my system right now. It's I can't not smile when I sense that. And this is like normality for me these days. At the same time, I strongly sense that it's just getting started. It's just getting started, even though I was working on this area of nutrition for the past 13 years, and I even started my first business around this topic. For almost 2 years, I helped people with their nutrition. It was my opener into living as a sovereign human being that is not going through the treadmill, some kind of job that he hates, but actually being my own boss, running my own business. And that played a huge part in my development as well. And at the same time, nutrition is a topic that we that affects us all, and where everybody has their kind of stand on. Everybody has a has an opinion on nutrition, like how to eat properly, how to nourish your body properly. Everybody knows something around this, but to be honest, most people think they know much more about this topic than they actually know. And even though I was able to learn so much over the past 13 years, I still sense that I'm just getting started. And I'm just right now in this process of pulling away the curtain of what society tells us. What all these organizations out there teach us how to eat properly, how to nourish your body properly. There is so many lies, so much untruths, so many untruths, so many misconceptions, so many false assumptions around this topic that leads us astray, and that we are constantly looking and trying, and somehow it's not feeling right, or if it's feeling good, then it's a huge effort. And it's a topic that's loaded with a lot of pain for the majority of human beings. And that shouldn't be the case, because I believe like nutrition should be very easy, should be very effortless, should be very flowing, and should not be a distraction or an obstacle for us to live a beautiful life, but actually enables us to do that and supports us in doing that. And in order to spread a little more truth with for the people who resonate with that, it's very important for me to record this podcast episode, and I have the strong feeling that it might be one of my favorite podcast episodes that I recorded over my podcasting career. That yeah, that's lasting for a couple of years already. Yeah, I over the past months I reconnected with my love and with my passion for this topic. That's started in 2010, and I want to share the story how it changed my diet like radically in a second. But first of all, I want to invite you to listen or to watch with an open mind, with an open heart. And although there may be some things that I'm saying that might trigger you, that might cause resistance in your body, that might create fear or a feeling of a potential loss, potential. Like nutrition is one of the most one of the topics in our lives that is most prone to addiction. Like so many people, and I include myself in that, have some kind of addiction to food that we cannot see in an objective manner, because there's always some kind of addiction. Like think of your favorite food, think of your favorite dish, whatever that is. Be it a pizza, be it the homemade apple pie of your grandma, be it a papaya, be it whatever. What is your favorite food that you so deeply love that you could eat like every day? Think of that. And when I would say you can no longer eat that, like for the rest of your life, not a single opportunity to eat that. How would you feel? Bad. You would feel like I would take something from you. And that shows us how attached we are to this topic of nutrition, that we cannot see it in an objective manner, just as something that should nourish our body, and that's it, so that we can focus on what really matters, but that we develop like such strong emotional ties to food. Because the times that we eat are not only the times when our body needs nourishment, they are mostly the times when we feel lonely, when we feel sad, when we feel exhausted, when we feel bored. We eat out of so many different reasons, while only a small percentage of them being that we really need food. And that shows us how emotionally loaded this topic is. And that's why there may be some things that I'm gonna be sharing over the next couple of minutes that might trigger you. And I want to invite you to encounter that with an open heart and with an open mind, and just see what will emerge for you. Yeah. And it could very well be that this podcast episode will open a new door for you, a new door in your journey of self-discovery and ascendance into your highest being, highest expression of yourself, because food plays a tremendous role in our journey to the purest, most natural, most giving, most loving form that we can be on this planet. All right, let's start at the beginning. When I grew up, I didn't get a strong sense of awareness for food from my parents. We just ate like the standard diet, with cereal for breakfast and with a lot of bread, a lot of cheese. I didn't like meat so much. I liked meat that didn't look like meat. So every time when we ate at some kind of like fancy restaurant and there was a steak or some spare ribs or whatever, I didn't like that at all. But I liked like sausage that was far away from the animal which it was produced of. I liked that a lot. Some kind of salami. But yeah, it was basically the standard diet that everybody in the Western world is eating. Of course, we ate fruits and vegetables as well, so it was not like super unhealthy, but more like on a side, maybe a little side salad, and then meat and potatoes, and maybe some cooked veggies, like traditional dish. So this is how I grew up. But I always had a sweet tooth. I always really liked to eat sweets. Chocolate. I imagine like when I was in my teenage years, I got my own room before I lived in one room with my brother. But then as I got older, I think it was around 14, 13, 14, maybe 15, I don't remember. I got my own room and at my desk. And on the desk there was one drawer, and this was always my drawer for sweets. And it was always like packed. When it was Christmas, like so many sweets as gifts, and the drawer was full. And then I ate everything, and then came Easter, and then came my birthday, and it was always like a lot of sweet stuff in there, and I enjoyed eating that. Not like outrageously, but quite a fair amount, I would say. And then as I got older, as I got more and more into my teenage years, and I've got more and more independent, not eating with my mom, but more like doing my own thing and exploring the freedom, my eating habits went very, very, very far downhill. As I said, I was mostly eating out, but not at high quality restaurants, but at McDonald's or like kebab or like French fries, or when I was eating at home, just the pizza from the fridge. Yeah, that was basically my kind of diet. And in the morning, sweet cereals with milk, and then at school in the meantime, some kind of sandwich. This is basically how I ate during my teenage years. And then I turned 19 and I moved out. I did an internship at a place like very far from Berlin, from my hometown. And while I was there, I stayed in close contact with my mom and with my brother. They were still living in Berlin. And then one day I remember my mother called me and she said, "Wow, I need to tell you something. Like the most crazy thing ever happened to me." And I was like, "Okay, tell me everything." And she said, "Okay, you know, there's this friend of mine, and she, I already told you, she's into this thing called green smoothies. Every morning, she gets up and goes to the kitchen, takes her blender and puts some kind of spinach, or some kind of kale or salad in there with a little bit of fruits, and then she drinks that." And she really inspired me to do that. And every time I'm with her, I get a glass of green smoothie from her. You remember, right? Yeah. And I was like, "Yeah, okay, I found that like really disgusting green smoothie. Yeah, I didn't like that, but yeah, okay." And I'm doing this since a couple of weeks. And then a couple of days ago, I went to a bookstore just like for browsing. And I discovered this one book and I saw it and it immediately caught my attention. And I picked it up and I started reading. And then I needed to sit down and I sat in this bookstore for 2 hours, turning pages and pages and pages and pages. And then the bookstore closed and they said, like, "Madam, you need to leave. Do you want to buy this book or no?" She said, Yeah, of course, I want to buy this book." And then she went home and she continued reading, 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 and read like the whole book. It was deep, 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 deep into the night. And she finished this book. And after that, she said, "I felt like a new human being because I discovered a kind of truth that resonated so deeply with my heart that I needed to change the way how I eat like overnight." And this book is called, it's a German book by a German author. German title is Willst du gesund sein, vergiss den Kochtopf. Translated to English, that would mean if you want to be healthy, forget cooking. And it's a book about eating raw foods, raw, uncooked, unprocessed foods. And she read this book, and the truth unveiled in this book resonated so deeply with her that she immediately like went to the fridge, threw everything out, like all the dairy, all the animal products, all the bread, all the pasta, everything besides the raw fruits, raw vegetables, some kind of nuts, seeds stayed there, but there was it. And I was like, "Okay, now she's gone crazy." Okay, but yeah, let her continue. And she said, within a couple of days of only eating raw foods, my like I felt an energy in my body that I never felt before. And I want to share the backstory as well. Since her teenage years, my mom is suffering from severe depression. And she was taking all kinds of pills, all kinds of like stuff to just to basically be able to live, just to be able to live, just to be able to survive. And she was doing okay. She was overweight and took like frequent naps, didn't feel well in her body, was feeling anxious most of the time, and was basically living a basically an ordinary life. And she said, okay, I changed my diet overnight, and within a couple of days I started feeling such an immense energy that I never felt in my life before. And it's crazy. Like, I never experienced my mom like this, being so vibrant, so like so energetic. I've never experienced her before. This touched me deeply. This was a moment that was like, there's something going on in her life, in her body, that's very beautiful. But at the same time, there was a strong resistance, and I said, okay, it's nice that this is working for you, but I cannot see myself doing that. I love my pizza, I love my fast food, I love my burgers. And she was like, yeah, totally, do your thing. I just wanted to share how much of a breakthrough that was for me. And yeah, as I said, overnight she changed her diet, and her dinner before consisted of bread and cheese and everything, and now her dinner consisted of a of like oh, slicing a papa slicing an avocado and eating that avocado with a spoon and snacking on some rocket and some tomatoes along with that, and that's it. And that was her dinner, and I was like, that's not a fucking dinner. Like, are you joking? But yeah, okay, do your crazy thing. And yeah, as I said, at the time I was 19, and I had like I felt energized. I was doing a lot of sports, going to the gym, playing a lot of football, and I had a lot of energy. And I thought like, okay, it's good for you. You're like older. You have this depression that you're suffering, and you're taking all these kinds of pills, and it seems that you that this is, could be healing your body, and that's beautiful, but I don't need that. And she lets me do like my thing, and as more and more months passed, and as my internship ended, and I visited her in Berlin, it was crazy. She lost so much weight. She looked so fit, so young, so energized. I've never experienced my mom like this. And there was a time like after I came back to Berlin, I took a part-time job as a clothing at a clothing retailer, and just to earn a little bit of money on the side and to figure out what I want to do in my life. And then one day, my job was finished, and my mom came to visit me, and then we wanted to spend the rest of the day together. And then one of my colleagues said like, oh, there's somebody like picking you up, maybe it's your girlfriend, I don't know. And I was like, do you know who that is? That's my mother. And she was like, oh my god, like, what's with your mother? She's so energetic, so vibrant, she looks so good. That's amazing. Like, you are 20 years old. She could be like your age. She could be like 25. I didn't think that there was your mother. And that was a strange, but at the same time, very, very, very beautiful moment for me, because I like another person who didn't know her and didn't know me, and like was out of our world, really confirmed that this is working. This is really, really working. And I shared that with her, and of course, that was beautiful to hear for her. And so yeah, I could not resist to try this out because obviously for her it was working so nicely, and she always said to me and to my brother, hey, you need to try and da 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 da. But she didn't force us to. She still like cooked our food for us, although she didn't eat anything from that. But then there was a point when I said like, okay, mom, I will try. So that I will try for a week, 1 week of only eating raw foods, and then afterwards I can tell you like, okay, I don't need that. I'm young, I'm fit, I don't need that. And then you will stop disturbing me. And I made the transition. Like got rid of all the bread, all the dairy, all the meat, like all the processed food. And I went to our local market and stocked up in with all kinds of fruits and veggies and nuts and dates and some kind of dried fruits. And then I started this experiment. And to be honest, although at the time I was 20 years old, super fit, doing lots of sports, it only took 2 or 3 days for me to recognize a major shift in my body. Before, I was working, like I took a job at a gym, and was working long hours, and at the same time I was studying, and I had a pretty full day. And usually when I came home in the evening, I just had like something for dinner, watched a little bit of TV, and then I passed out. But now, after like only a handful of days of eating only raw foods, I was like in the evening, okay, I don't want to go bed. I don't want to go to bed. What can I do? What can I do? I'm still full of energy. And I didn't like there was something new. There was something really new. Before I had a full day, and I was like, okay, of course you had a full day. You're super tired and you pass out at 10. And then now I was like, okay, I don't want to go to bed. I'm still full of energy. And I realized, maybe even for me, as a young, fit human being, there can be something of value in it. And I continued this experiment. And after the week, I was like, I can't stop right now. I'm feeling amazing. I'm feeling so amazing. I can't stop. I can't stop. And I continued. And I continued for the next 4.5 years. 4.5 years of eating only raw foods. And in the beginning, I need to say, like it was difficult because I didn't know what I could eat and how to prepare like delicious recipes. And it was a trial and error. It was not super easy in the beginning. There was a lot of time and a lot of focus that went into this area of my life of really figuring out. And the most intense craving that I had for the first months was for something like solid, like bread or pasta. I never had a craving for meat or for dairy, or for cheese. No, I had a craving for bread, and I substituted bread with nuts. I was eating a lot of Brazil nuts and cashews and almonds, and that worked. And besides that, just like big salad bowl for dinner with all kinds of greens and veggies and avocado and sprouts, and created a nice dressing and sun-dried tomatoes and really proper salad bowl. And besides that, in the morning, huge green smoothie, fruits, a lot of dates as a snack in between. That was how I ate, and I felt amazing. I felt amazing. Yeah. And the more I opened, and this is something that I'm witnessing in so many people's lives that are where they go undergo a similar transition. The more you purify your body, the more you pull away the curtain, and the more sensitive you get for everything in your life. And as I changed this part of my life where most people are struggling, like almost everybody around me was like, oh, I lost, I gained weight, I want to be more skinny, or I'm feeling bloated after the lunch I just had, or everybody has some kind of problems with their food. Like, I mastered this area of my life, and it became effortless, and it nourished me, and I've had so much energy that I started questioning other areas of my lives, and I started getting into personal development and spirituality, and then into entrepreneurship. And I quit my studies and started my first business, teaching people how to transition into a raw vegan diet as well. Did that for 2 years, built this business to one of Germany's biggest sites for the raw vegan diet. Created a course and yeah. Quit my job and travel to Australia and travel to Bali and travel to Barcelona and many, many beautiful places. And yeah, changing my diet opened me to all these beautiful, beautiful opportunities, because I couldn't tolerate like the normal way of living. And food plays a major role in that. Cheers with my delicious green juice that I prepared this morning. And I'm so beyond grateful for my mom that she opened this door for me, and that she like just led with this, with her own joy and own excitement about what is going on in her body and in her life, and this made it impossible for me not to follow. And then in the beginning of 2015, after a little bit more than 4.5 years on this path, I changed my nutrition again. Slowly but steadily, I incorporated cooked foods again into my diet. It began with a potato here and there, and then, yeah, I was traveling more. My life got more and more busy. I started coaching people how to build their own business. So there was a beginning a side project, and then that took more and more time and effort. And I hosted like conferences, and I was speaking at events, and I was traveling a lot. And I just felt it's more convenient to be able to eat cooked foods as well. It was all the time, it was vegan, so vegan was like non-negotiable. But I started eating cooked foods more and more when I was busy, and when I was like at a stop at some train station. Then I was able to get a curry from the fast food restaurant, and it made life more easy. I needed to plan less. I got more freedom, and at the same time, I felt energetic still, because I was still eating a lot of raw foods. I didn't feel such a difference, but it was really, really crazy. A couple of weeks ago, I had like some kind of nostalgic moment, and I watched old YouTube videos of myself. And I watched first, I began like in the beginning in 2014. I started with YouTube. At this time, I was eating like fully raw, and I saw myself, and I was like, wow, this guy looks so vibrant, so full of energy, so full of life force. It's amazing. I was really, really inspired to see me back in the days. And then 1 or 2 years later, the energy was not the same anymore. You could even see that in my face. Would look more puffy, a little bit more like little bit more unhealthy, little less vibrant. And it was really shocking because I didn't notice that at the time because it was happening so gradually. It was happening really, really slowly, and I didn't notice a difference. But when I look back into my old videos, I truly see a major difference. And yeah, but back in the days, I didn't notice that. And I continued on this path of eating maybe 50, 60% cooked and 40, 50% raw. I continued on this path from 2015 to a couple of months ago. For the past almost 8 years, I was eating fully vegan, partly raw, partly cooked. But through this whole period, like whenever I ate something that was too processed or a lot of wheat, a lot of gluten or refined sugar, I was always feeling bad afterwards. I was always feeling bad. Like it was n my nutrition was never really effortless. It was always this like, okay, yeah, let's go out and have a pizza. And I would enjoy the taste, and but I know that the next day I would not feel good. But yeah, I did it anyways because yeah, it's some kind of social thing, and I had cravings. I really wanted to go out with my friends and have this pizza. I don't want to have only the salad. I want to have the pizza. That shows us how food is such a social thing, and it's so deeply addictive. It makes us unfree. And although I knew that this is not nourishing my body on a really deep level and that I won't feel good in the next day, I still ate the pizza. And it was like my body showed me that I ate something that's not super pure through my nose. Like immediately I ate the pizza, and then maybe like a couple of hours later, my nose started to like some mucus came out, and my body was showing me, hey, bro, that was not really nice. I need to get rid of something. And please don't do this again. But then of course I did it again. It was some kind of normality for me. Because it was not super severe. It was the next day I was ha having a little bit less energy, but it was okay. It was okay. I was able to sustain that. And then a couple of months ago, I got to know an amazing woman, and she's on a similar path than what I was able to experience over the past years, and similar transition of getting into a vegan diet and then shifting to raw, but still here and there eating some cooked foods. And but she was at this time that we met, she was like deeply into raw vegan, and we had dinner and she was eating raw, and I was eating something cooked. And then she was like, oh yeah, it looks nice, smells nice, I want to have something as well. And then she ate part of my dish as well. And after dinner, she had a really emotional breakdown. She f like I was really shocked to see what that did to her body. She was a totally different person. Feeling insecure, like the vibrancy that was there before was not there anymore. And she really regretted like eating this cooked food with me. And she cried, and I was like, wow, what did this food do to her body? It was not only not nourishing her, it was really destructive. Because compared to to how I got to know her, eating only raw foods, it was like day and night. And this touched me deeply and reminded me of, wow, This was my reality back in the days as well. I was so sensitive to food that my body, like, when I had two or three slices of a raw vegan cake made of only cashews and dates, my body said, like, oh, that's a little bit too processed. Please, tomorrow, watermelon and tomatoes. I prefer that. I was the same. But over the past 8 years, I got a little bit lost. I lost touch with my truth. And this moment touched me deeply. And in this moment, I made the decision I will go back to 100% fully raw vegan again. Because I saw myself in her and I saw how I neglected my truth and how I really was in disservice to my body. I knew better, but I didn't act upon it. And that made me really sad. And I felt sorry for my body. I felt sorry for stuffing him with things that don't nourish him, even though I knew better. But through this, like, gradual transition away from raw foods, my body didn't show it to me like super radical, only like little bit here and there, and I was like, okay, yeah, chill. I want to have the pizza. But in this moment, I felt like in her, I felt the effect this processed food had on her body. And I was like, this was the wake up moment I needed. And this is a couple of months ago. And from this moment on, I went back to 100% fully raw vegan. And it feels so amazing. It feels like such a relief to sit finally in my truth again. And it took me 8 years to rediscover that. And I don't regret anything, but I'm really wondering, like, how could the past 8 years have developed if I would be still in this fully vibrant energy and if I would still, like, nourish my body the way it wanted to be. Yeah, that was a really painful realization. It was a p really painful realization of through reasons of convenience and wanting to, yeah, social desires, wanting to be a part of, wanting to be able to go out with your friends and have a pizza. You are already an alien because you don't eat the pizza with cheese and ham and everything. You order the vegetarian pizza with veggies, and you say, like, no cheese, please. You're already an alien, but you still want to have this, like, at least this pizza. You don't want to be sitting there only munching on the salad. And the physical addiction as well, like the occasional pizza tasted pretty nice. The curry tasted pretty nice. And the bread tasted pretty nice, and the pasta tasted pretty nice. But it's nothing compared to the incredible energy I feel in my body now for the past couple of months after I transitioned back to raw vegan. Yeah. And I'm. In the beginning, like after I experienced what this transition did to my mom, I got very dogmatic and I was like, okay, this is the ultimate truth. Everybody needs to know this. And I tried to convince people to do that, but pretty quickly I stopped because I realized, like, it's not working. You cannot convince somebody, especially in the topic of food, which is so, like, deeply emotionally, whereas there's so much attachment to our food, and we don't want somebody to tell us you cannot have grandma's apple pie. Don't want to have somebody tell us, hey, you cannot eat this nice barbecue anymore, whatever. And I stopped doing that, but I was still, like, dogmatic. Like, I was very dogmatic about vegan. I was really dogmatic about raw vegan. And then, yeah, as I said, after 4.5 years, I slowly transitioned. And
Yeah.
And now I'm in the process of getting more and more detached from food, more and more detached, and at the same time, more and more strict, but not at all from a place of suffering, from a place of I need to only eat this because when I eat that, my body feels bad, but more from really from a place of I want to nourish my body with the most high vibrational food. Oh, only like the most high vibrational food should have a place in my body, and everything else, no. Because I want to have my vibration as high as possible. I want to have as much energy as possible. Tony Robbins says your biggest asset is your energy level. And I got a glimpse on what's possible back in the days 2010 when I transitioned, and I was like, wow. And this feeling of wow is there again. And as still I realize you're just getting started. You're just getting started. Yeah. And yeah, let me share how I'm nourishing my body right now. I realize that it's not about vegan, it's not about raw vegan, it's not about like any concepts. It's really about feeding your body with foods that are really high in water. Like as much water as in your diet, you will feel very light and you will thrive a lot. And the more dense, the more compact, the more processed the food is that you're eating, the more it numbs you and the more energy it uses for really like somehow getting rid of it after you ate it. Yeah, digestion takes an incredible amount of energy. Of course, it depends on what you're eating, but I think everybody experienced this kind of food coma after you had a big piece of meat and some potatoes for lunch, and you're like, oh, I need a nap. I cannot go back to work. Like, I don't know. I don't know this anymore. Like, I have really like I have energy the whole day. Like the whole day I'm full of energy. And when I ate something, I'm still full of energy because what I'm eating is so high in water that it doesn't take a lot of energy to digest that. And that feels so great. It's so crazy. Yesterday in the evening, I played football with the locals. 2 hours, like intense, back and forth inside. It's called futsal. It's indoor football, 5 on 5. It's running, like running, 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 back and forth. It's really intense, really sweating with 30 degrees body, like sweating, sweating, sweating. It's really intense. And it's the first time that I picked up the football, like since a year. For the past year, I didn't play anything, and for the past year, I wasn't doing any intense cardio. I was more focusing on my morning mobility routine and getting my body to be more flexible and but really exhausting sports I didn't do for the past year, no. So I suspected that after this evening yesterday, I will be like wasted for the next 2 or 3 days, as it was in the past. Even a year ago, I was playing regularly, but the first time I was playing with the locals at this exact place, it was the first time since, I don't know, half a year. And the first time that I went there, I was toast. Like the next day, I couldn't barely move. My legs, my ass, my upper body, like everything hurt. It was so sore because it was intense. It was an intense workout after like 6 months break. And I expected the same for yesterday. And I was like, okay, tomorrow you will do just like relaxed. And then I went there and it was intense. And then I got on my scooter afterwards and I drove home and I was feeling exhausted. And I went to bed and immediately fall asleep. And then I wake up today and I was like, hey, my body feels fine. My body feels pretty good. It's not sore. It's not sore at all. And then I did my morning meditation and I went to the organic market and I did some shopping and now I'm set, I did my podcast setup and I'm full of energy and my body is not sore at all. And it shows me like the cleaner you eat, the higher, the faster your regeneration is. It's crazy. It's crazy, even though I consider myself, even over the past years of eating like 50% raw, 50% cooked, when you compare that with the standard diet, no matter where, like in Germany, in the US, in Indonesia, like when you see how the locals are eating, like it's mostly rice and chicken, and when you see what the German people are eating, it's beef and potatoes. It's basically the same. It's like a lot of meat, a lot of processed food, a lot of salt, a lot of sugar. I considered my diet already on a really high level, fully vegan, like 50% raw, 50% cooked, trying to eat as less sugar, less salt, less processed, less gluten as possible. I already considered my diet on a really high level. Seeing how I feel after this intense 2 hours of back and forth futsal yesterday compared to a year ago when I was eating like 50% raw, 50% cooked, and compared to now, it's day and night. It's day and night. It gave me a glimpse of what is possible, like what is possible within my body. So yeah, how do I nourish my body right now? As much water as possible. Every day I'm in the kitchen. I really like to do that with my son. It's beautiful morning routine, being in the kitchen together and preparing the fresh juice for today. So up until the afternoon, I'm only nourishing my body with liquids. Coconut water. Now in my hands, I'm holding a fresh green juice with kale, with spinach, with I'm sitting in front of the papaya tree with papaya leaves. Papaya leaves, I'm telling you, is the like it's so good. It's medicine. It's pure medicine. It's very bitter, very bitter. But the local people, when they have some kind of they feel unwell, some kind of disease, whatever, they are drinking this papaya leaf juice. Like 100% papaya leaf juice. I did that. It's not a piece of cake. I can tell you, but it's incredibly nutritious. And I put spinach, kale, papaya leaf in my juice and pineapple, cucumber, and lemon. This is my 1 liter green juice, and I prepared a 1 liter orange juice with orange and carrot and ginger and turmeric. So this is what this was, and fresh coconut, 1 liter of coconut juice. This was basically what I had today. And then in the afternoon, I will eat some fruits, watermelon, papaya, banana, like mono fruit, like only one kind of fruit, until I'm satisfied. Dragon fruit, mango. What is there in my kitchen, my beautiful Bali kitchen? Like yeah, it's. The Bali fruits are amazing. They are really amazing. This is like my afternoon. And then in the evening, I will have something fatty. A lot of evenings, I just eat the coconut meat, like the young coconuts that you can harvest here when they are like a little bit more mature. They have this white jelly-like coconut meat inside. It's so delicious. It's so. It's something else than in back in Germany, you could buy a coconut and it's really hard, really thick, really not so good. But here it's more jelly-like and amazing. Most of the evenings I just munch on coconut meat. Some other days I'm eating soaked nuts. I soak cashews and Brazil nuts and almonds, and my favorite here on Bali are pili nuts. Pili nuts taste a little bit like macadamia. Oh, It's so good, so good. I soak them in water for a couple of hours, so that's that they are that they become more easily digestible. And then a couple of days ago, I just put them in a blender and create a nice dip, and then I eat that with cucumber or with asparagus or with capsicum or tomato, some kind of veggies, along with the nuts. That's basically my diet right now. So it's a lot of water, it's a lot of fresh fruits, veggies, a little bit of nuts. Feels good in the evening to have some nuts, be it a coconut or a cashew or whatever. Some days I don't I feel like very light, and I don't feel a desire for eating nuts in the evening, and then I will just have more fruits or some oranges or really intuitive. Really, really intuitive. But one thing that's really important for me to, as the day progresses, going from more watery to more dense. I never eat something dense in the morning. It just doesn't feel good. In the morning, I just want to hydrate my body, and I want to start really light. And then as the day progresses, I can eat something more solid. But I try to be as mono as possible. Like, don't in the past, even when I first started with the raw vegan diet, I put so many things together. In the evening, I prepared a salad out of 20 ingredients. Sometimes I did that over the past weeks, but it doesn't feel really good. It doesn't feel really good. It feels good to, because the ingredients taste so much more intense when you eat them just by yourself. Have you ever tried a leaf of rocket, arugula, just by itself? Not in a salad with some kind of dressing and tomatoes and whatever, but just by itself. And have you tasted how intense? It's so intense. It's even spicy. Like this one leaf of rocket, it's like, wow. It's an explosion, like in your for your taste buds. But of course, when you mix it with 20 other ingredients, you won't taste it. It will get like lost. It will just be, mash. So I try to eat as simple as possible. And it tastes better. It's so much easier for the digestive system. Like even in the afternoon when I eat only like mono papaya or watermelon or whatever, I feel like it's digested within 20 minutes. It's so easy. I have this sometimes I eat a whole watermelon and I'm like full because of this amount of water. Like 20 minutes after, I feel super light and it already passed my body. And I can be productive, I can do my meditation, I can be active, I can move my body, and it's something completely different than in the past when I sometimes had for breakfast vegan pancakes, or like a smoothie bowl with a lot of granola. I was feeling full for the next couple of hours. And this is not like, it doesn't make any sense. We are numbing ourselves. We are numbing ourselves through the food we are eating. When we ate something and don't feel energized afterwards, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Yeah, I discovered why. Because it's not easy to be so sensitive. When you're eating so lightly, you become very sensitive. We become very sensitive to everything. You become very sensitive to food. Like nowadays, when I would, something that was completely normal for me 6 months ago, vegan banana flour pancakes with maple syrup, I had oftentimes in the for breakfast. It was really nice. Like, taste buds liked it. When I would do this in the morning now, I promise I would feel very bad afterwards because my body got so sensitive to it. It doesn't want this like dense, compact, processed food. It wants the green juice for breakfast. It wants the watermelon. It wants the papaya. It wants the coconut water. This is called the law of vital adjustment. The cleaner, the more pure your body is, the less it will tolerate anything that is not good for it. It's so crazy. Like when I look out into the world and see people having like four cheeseburgers for lunch and their body's feeling okay afterwards. And if I would eat these four cheeseburgers, I would be sick for the next days. I would not be able to do anything. And for a major part of my past 13 years, I was in resistance to that because I was like, okay, look at these people around me. They can eat everything. They are so free. They can eat pizza. They can do whatever and still feel okay. And me, as this crazy raw vegan who had two slices of cake, of raw vegan cake, didn't feel well afterwards. Like, this is unfair. This is unfair. But now I appreciate this so much. I appreciate the purity of my body so much that it immediately tells me, hey, bro, this is not good for you. Don't do this again. And I'm like, okay, I respect that. Through the law of vital adjustment, people can get used to, like, it's a drastic word, but we need to call it poison. They are able to put poison in their bodies. Like these highly processed foods that can stay in your shelf for 3, 4, 5 years and won't ever go bad, full of chemicals, full of preservatives. The only way that we are able to somehow feel okay after eating that is through our body slowly adjusting to this poison. The same with smoking. Like the I don't know if you ever smoked a cigarette in your life before. I one I like not a full cigarette. I tried like one inhale, and it was so bad. It was so bad. I never did that again. Like for everybody, the first cigarette feels very bad. And their body, like afterwards, is like, woo, because it's poison. Because it's poison. And then slowly our body adapts. Because for our body, the most important goal is to survive. And when it realizes, okay, it gets fed poison again and again and again, it needs to adjust. It needs to adjust to somehow work with this poison that it gets. But if you would like somebody with a very clean body, like my son, like two podcast episodes ago, I can highly recommend you to check out this episode. Children teach us everything we need to know about life. I already told the story. Like his body is so clean, so pure. When I would give him like a cigarette or like these highly processed noodles that everybody is eating here in Bali, or some kind of sugary dairy ice cream. When I would give this to him, his body would react immediately, like diarrhea, like out. And that's a beautiful thing because our bodies don't want that, and they just adjusted to surviving, even though we put so much junk into them. But it's not a good thing. And we cannot fully be immune to the junk that we put in. It's still toxic. But somehow our body found a way to survive. But as a side effect, the vitality got decreased more and more and more and more and more. Like when you see someone on the streets being super overweight and they're eating four cheeseburgers for lunch, look at them very closely. There's barely any vitality in them. When you look at their faces, when you look at their bodies, it makes me so sad to see someone that's barely alive. It's barely alive because we cannot put this poison in our bodies and still be vibrant. It's not possible. It's not possible. And the more pure our body gets, the more clean it gets, the less it is able to tolerate all that. And that's beautiful. That's how it should be. because the internal compass, like, it's very clear. Like, no, I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't want this. Like 99%. A couple of days ago, we needed to fly to Jakarta to go to the embassy, and then we were at the hospital at the airport, and I was feeling a little bit hungry, and I was like, checking out, can I get something? And I was strolling through all the shops in the airport, and each and every shop I went to, there was not a single, not a single item I would put in my body. Nothing. Nothing. Because everything was in cans and boxes. Everything is processed. Everything is full of sugar, full of salt. Like, there was not a single item I would put in my body. And then after walking a while, I found a restaurant that offered fresh juices. And I asked them to get fresh mango juice without sugar, without ice, just mango. Just please put the mango in the blender and give that to me. Oh, thank you. That tasted amazing. That was my food at the airport. And it's so crazy that when you walk around, like in civilization, on almost every place, I wouldn't even consider it food, because it doesn't nourish our body. It just feeds it. We feel somehow full afterwards, but we don't feel energized. And this is sad. This is really, really sad. But yeah, it's a reflection of our consumption. I'm looking forward to the days when, even at airports, there will be huge stands with like fresh fruits and sliced watermelon and green juice, and looking forward to that. But that's not the reality now, because how most of the people consume something else. Yeah. I want to dig a little bit deeper into the sensitivity, because that's a very important topic. I believe it's the most challenging. When we open ourselves to eating more pure, to eating more clean, to eating more watery, to eating more unprocessed. As I said, our whole system gets really sensitive, not only to food that doesn't belong into our body, but to everything else as well. We become so sensitive to energies. We become so sensitive to people. We become so sensitive to the air quality. We become so sensitive to the place that we are living in. We become so sensitive to technical devices. We become so sensitive to just unhealthy vibrations. We become really, really sensitive. And before, when we just numb our whole being with food, we don't realize that. Like, the only, as I said, a couple of days ago, we went to Jakarta. It's, I actually hated it. Like, this city full of skyscrapers, full of smog, no sunlight, people just in a hurry, working on jobs that they don't like to earn money, to impress people that they don't care about. This is only possible when you desensitize yourself. If you would eat so clean, you would, like physically, you would not be able to live in such a life. You would not be able to live in some kind of skyscraper on the 17th floor and be totally isolated from the natural world, totally isolated from other people, wearing your mask all the time, going to a job where you do something that is not in alignment with your talents just to earn money, and then afterwards go shopping, get the new Gucci handbag. You would not be able to sustain this life if you would eat so clean. It would not be possible. So when I had this realization that the world that we created, like collectively, globally, this like digital industrialized world, we can only sustain that through not being in contact with our true selves, through not being sensitive. Only then we can sustain that. And this happened for me. This happened for me. Like, in the beginning of this year, I realized, and even we are living it, like, come on, we're living in Bali. It's a pretty beautiful island. The weather is great. The people are friendly. But even in these circumstances, we were living at an Airbnb, beautiful house, but built out of concrete. You need to get on the scooter to drive somewhere. Even on this really high level, like for 99.9% of the people on this planet, they would say, like, come on, you live in a nice house, you have your own pool, you're living in Bali, you can have like fresh food, and that's a pretty nice standard. And even this felt off for me. And I realized, no, I don't want to get on my scooter every day. I don't want to live in this concrete box. I belong to nature. I belong to nature. I need to live in a more natural environment. Yeah. And even though this at the moment meant that Elina and I needed to separate and move to different places because she didn't want to live like I wanted to live. So it was difficult. But this call into nature, this call into a more connected, more alive setting was so strong in my inside myself that I even did this huge step of saying, like, okay, I need to move to a different place than you. At the time, we were still in a relationship. This call was stronger than this desire to be with her, to live with her together, because I felt like I can't no longer live in this other reality. It's not working. It's just not working. And then through surrendering and crazy coincidences, I found my beautiful home in the jungle. And it's even th every time I look at it, I'm so in love. It's made like fully out of bamboo. It's open. 16 square meters. It's super small. It's super small. It's not luxurious. There's like barely anything inside it. There's a bed, there's a desk out of bamboo, there's a chair out of bamboo, there's a tiny, tiny sofa out of bamboo for one person. There's a small wardrobe out of bamboo. There's a small kitchen, a shower, and a garden. And that's it. And I'm living next to the river. And I have my own papayas here, I have my own coconuts. The jackfruits are ripening. Banana. There's a mango tree not far from here. I can be barefoot all the time. I spent so much time down at the river. Like, the vibrancy, the life force energy is so strong. And then I go into my kitchen and open a papaya and grab my wooden spoon and just have my lunch. That's it. It's so simple. It's so simple, and I love it so much. I love it so much. I love it so much, and it nourishes me deeply. And yeah, as I said, I got more and more sensitive. I got more sensitive to everything because, yeah, I even like after these 2 days in Jakarta, I felt very exhausted when I came back because of all the energies, because of all the vibration. There was not an alignment with us as human beings. But most of the people don't realize that because they are so numbed through the food that they are eating. Yeah. We can only sustain this industrialized digital world that we are living in through not being in contact with our true selves. When we begin to purify, like, almost everything that was normal before would not be working anymore again. Not be working. Our jobs are not working anymore. The place that we're living in is not working anymore. Our relationships are not working anymore. Like even something simple, like the clothes that we're wearing are not working anymore. Yesterday, it's for most people it would sound crazy, but yesterday when I went to futsal with the local guys, I was wearing a ordinary like sports pants from Adidas, and of course they are plastic. It's plastic, and this material didn't feel well on my skin. When I compare that to linen that is like these, that's every time you see me in the podcast or on social media, you must be thinking like Robert has already like the same things. He was wearing like the same thing every day. And yeah, I have one shop. One shop, it's my favorite shop for everybody's in Bali. I cannot highly recommend it enough. It's called Above the Clouds. And Above the Clouds only sells handmade, Bali made, organic linen garments for men. It's like when I found this store, I was like, oh, I'm above the clouds. And like I did a nice shopping haul there, and now I have, I don't know, eight of these shirts in various colors, in white and beige, in light blue and dark blue. That's it. That's my wardrobe. And this feels so good on my body. And when I compare that to wearing plastic, it feels off. But if you would tell that to some like ordinary person on the streets, they would be like, what? What? Your clothes have a vibration? Pfft, what are you talking about? But this is normal to feel that. It's normal. Like in the night, I need to switch off the Wi-Fi because I sleep better with switched off Wi-Fi. For my whole life, I was sleeping with turned on Wi-Fi and I didn't even notice. But now I'm getting more and more sensitive. I'm switching off the Wi-Fi at night. I'm even switching off the Wi-Fi when I sit for meditation. I walk into the kitchen, pull the plug, sit there for my 1 hour morning meditation, go back into the kitchen, and put the router back in, and then I'm working. Like technical devices, next thing. There were times not long ago, a couple of years ago, not even a couple of years ago, maybe 2 years ago, when I was sitting on a laptop for 8 to 12 hours every day. My body would not be able to do this anymore. I can't. I just can't. Like even staring on this technical device just hurts my eyes. It sounds crazy, but it's not possible anymore. And sitting that long in one place and one Zoom call after the other, my body could not sustain this. And this is what I mean by we get more and more sensitive to everything. Nowadays, when I have meetings, I do Zoom meetings without video, and I'm strolling in my garden, like up and down, barefoot, feeling the earth underneath my feet. I even switched to using headphones with cable again. Before, I was always using Bluetooth headphones, like AirPods, or the nice Sony headphones that I got for 300 euros with this amazing noise reduction. I was always using these, and now I realize Bluetooth, and it doesn't feel good. Like with the cable, it feels better, even though the sound is worse. But I'm willing to do the sacrifice and sacrifice this convenience of needing to carry a cable with you, because I feel like it's the yeah no I don't want to have this like Bluetooth thing around me. Yeah, when I look inside my room, I see my Alexa speaker. The Alexa speaker will be one of the next things that needs to leave. I don't want to have this vibration anymore in my house. I don't want to have this. No. Like everything, the quality of the sheets in my bed. Like everything. You get so sensitive to everything. You get so sensitive to people who are trying to manipulate you, who want to put their garbage in your garden and say like, "Hey, fix this for me," and "Hey, do this," and "Hey, do that." You get so sensitive. I'm spending a lot of time alone right now, and when I meet with people or when I'm in contact like online with people, I'm really, really careful. I'm really, really careful about the vibration and where the vibration is a match. And there's another like light energy being. It's, I have like phone calls for hours and hours and hours. And it's like back and forth, and the energy just like multiplies. And this is how I want to live relationships. This is how I want to live relationships. But yeah, you get so sensitive. You get sensitive to everything. You get sensitive to all the pain that's going on in the world. Like in Germany, there is this beautiful saying, Weltschmerz. Like the you start to feel the pain of the world, and it's not easy. You, when I'm like in my favorite place here down there at the river, and I see all the plastic, like after it was raining a lot, and plastic is coming from the nearest city through the river, it makes me so sad. It makes me so sad to see all this plastic. Yeah, so yeah, it's not easy to live in such a sensitive way. It's a lot of the times it's easier to be numbed down by our food so that we are able to tolerate the broken system that we created for us human beings. It requires courage and it requires continuous action, because the more we open ourselves up for a lighter, for a purer way of eating, the more we need to change all the other areas of our lives. We need to change our relationships. We need to change how we are working. We need to change how we are living. We need to change where we are living. We need to change even like our clothes, even our headphones. Yeah. So if you want to embark on this journey, and it's the most beautiful journey ever to become so light, so pure. And I'm only, as I said in the beginning, I'm only starting to get a glimpse of what is possible. It's only beginning. It's only beginning. And I'm already feeling like the most crazy alien ever. But I'm very happy. I'm very happy about it. Yeah. But you need to know that the more you open, and I think like over the past 8 years, as I got off this raw vegan track, I think this had a lot of like what I did, how I was working, like the amount of hours I put in my business was only possible through living quite like disconnected from my true self because of the way I ate, influenced like each other. The more you eat in an unnatural way, the more you are able to sustain a lifestyle that is not in alignment with your truest essence. And the more you're living a lifestyle that is not in alignment with your truest essence, you have more and more cravings for food, and then it's a downward spiral. And then you're having some kind of instant noodles for lunch, and then you're going to the big mall and consuming. And yeah, but for me personally, the easiest, like the simplest step to break free of the cycle, to break free of the system, to break free of the matrix, to break free of this mess that we created on our planet, is through changing our diet, one step at a time, slowly and steadily. And it's very important to do slow changes, because we talked about the law of vital adjustment. When we are doing like radical changes, that creates a shock for our system. As I said, I changed my diet from one day to another. And for the first, I would say, 10 days, like my nose was like running the whole time, right? Like running. My body was detoxing, like throwing all the, like finally being able to breathe again. Oh, I get fresh, natural food. Okay, I can throw out all the shit that I stored. And that was hard. That was hard. I felt sick. I was not sick. I was very healthy, and my body just detoxed, but it was hard. And so that's why I would recommend making these changes maybe a little bit slower. maybe a little bit slower so that our body is able to adjust. Because the more poisoned our body is, the more the worse we nourished it in the past, and the longer we nourished it so badly. Like when we are, I was 20 at the time. It was okay, but when I would do this shift with 55, like the transition period would be way worse because of all the garbage that our bodies accumulated. So it's very important to know that the more poisonous, like I know it's a strong word, and maybe it creates resistance. But maybe it creates resistance to know that the fancy vegan poke bowl that you like so much is actually poison for your body. That's a strong claim, I know, but I strongly believe it. It's a strong claim, I know. And I was eating the fancy vegan poke bowl with all kinds of edamame and tofu and sesame teriyaki dressing, and I really enjoyed that. But compared to the feeling inside my body that I have when I drink green juice and eat papaya, I wouldn't trade it again for anything. So yeah, I know that's a strong word, but all these processed, like high in salt, like salt is such a deep, such a big topic, even for vegans and vegetarians, even for people who consider themselves as being is eating healthy, as I considered myself over the past 8 years, I ate a lot of salt. Like, because when you eat out, there's like every dish has salt. And salt dehydrates your body big time. Big time. And you need more and more. And you need more and more stimulants for your taste buds. Because the pure tomato doesn't taste as good. You need to put salt and pepper on it. But no, quit the salt, quit the pepper, and relearn to honor the taste of the tomato. Like an organic garden grown tomato, it's one of the most beautiful things. But of course, if your taste buds are used to salt and pepper and spices and chili and all that, you cannot appreciate the tomato. You cannot appreciate the tomato. You need to get more sensitive to appreciate that. That's why in the beginning it can be hard, because yeah, it's quite a relearning. And when you're doing like drastic changes, it creates a strong shock for your body. It's the same with all kinds of drugs. All kinds of drugs, like the heroin addict, when you no longer give him his drug, he goes crazy. He can even die because this stimulant was so strong that when you remove it from your body, like overnight, the shock can be so, even though it's beautiful to get rid of the drug, to get rid of the poison, the shock can be so strong that the person is dying. So this shows us how strong the law of vital adjustment is, how crazy the body adapted so that it actually needs this drug. And we need to like be really, really, really careful. The older we are and the worse our diet was, we need to be really careful to remove all that. But we need to embark on this journey if we want to feel how it is to be really alive, to be full of energy, to be vibrant, and to be able to feel all of that. There are so many times during the day when I'm sitting in meditation, when I'm like on the scooter driving to the farmer's market, or just here in the podcast, that I'm so overwhelmed by love. It's crazy. I'm sitting there in the meditation. I'm counting my breath. One, two, three. Like, and then out of nowhere, I just need to smile. I need to thank universe. I need to, yeah. It's so beautiful. Like the intensity of life is completely different than the numbed down lives that we are living through the way that we stuff our body with all kinds of substances. Yeah. And as I said, my journey is not over. I didn't reach the destination. No, not even close. I still feel like yesterday in the evening before I went to a futsal, I had some coconut meat and I was a little bit in a hurry because the futsal was starting and I needed to get on my scooter to drive there. And I was a little bit in a hurry and I was not super conscious, but I wanted to have some dinner before because later it would be so late and I was hungry. And I had coconut meat and I was eating fast and not chewing so well, and I was eating more than I needed, because I prepared and I wanted to finish my bowl, but I was really not so hungry, but I finished everything. And then I sat on the scooter and I was feeling like very full. Similar feeling than 15 years ago after 4 cheeseburgers for lunch. And I'm like, come on, these are 4 cheeseburgers and this is like pure fresh coconut meat from coconut that like grew here in Bali and on beautiful, like vibrant soil. And you're still feeling full. So it shows me I'm still on the journey. I'm still on the journey and I'm getting more and more and more sensitive. More and more and more sensitive. Like what I'm really witnessing right now is that I'm getting more and more sensitive to food that is not organic. When I eat a lot of not organic food, I sense it in my mouth. I sense it on my tongue, in my body. Can really, really sense that, even though it's like growing on Bali, like locally grown here, getting more sensitive, and my body wants the organic food. Yeah. So yeah, it makes life more difficult. I think in a year from now, I won't be able to get the mango smoothie from the airport because of the low quality of the mangoes compared to the organic mangoes that I can get here at the farmer's market, and the vibration that goes into it. Like some person behind the back room in the kitchen preparing it quickly because he needs to prepare like the nasi goreng for the next customer, and then quickly throwing everything together and preparing my smoothie and serving it to me in a plastic container. Like all that, I guess in a year from now, that won't be an option anymore. So yeah, still on the journey, getting more and more sensitive, more and more sensitive, more and more sensitive, more and more water, more and more light. Yeah. And that's amazing because life gets even richer, even richer, even richer. But you develop more and more into an alien and you need to change all the areas of your life as well. And I believe like the place that I'm living in right now, I won't be able to live for the next couple of years because there's still the big street not far from here. And sometimes you can hear the traffic and like the neighbors listening to loud music. And more and more I'm drawn into nature. More and more I'm drawn into nature. And that's why I have this really, really like colorful, vibrant, strong image inside my heart of this natural community that's really living off grid, far, far, far from here in the jungle. Yeah. The river flowing and the waterfall, and we grow our own food like 100% as homegrown, and we prepare that with the utmost care and love and humility for the land, and going into our food forest first thing in the morning and caring and really tending the plants and seeing a ripe papaya that will be our lunch. And then eating that so consciously and slowly, and only like a small portion, a small papaya feeds us beautifully. That's another thing that I'm witnessing. I don't need the quantities of food that I ate in the past. I remember like when I came to Bali first, for the first time, I was ordering like two two dishes for dinner, like the poke bowl and the pasta, because the body portions are a little bit smaller than when you eat out in Germany. I was ordering like two portions, and yesterday I had a small bowl of coconut meat. I was already feeling very full. Like now it's 5 p.m. I had one liter of orange juice, like orange carrot juice, and a half a liter of green juice, and I feel full right now. And that's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. So yeah, changes. Changes, changes. I'm in the process. I'm in the process still. And that won't stop. But it's how it should be. The more pure we get, the more clean we get, the richer life gets. Yeah. Even in my daily meditation, today's day 23, day 23 of 1 or 2 hours of meditating every day. It's like the experience I have in the meditation is something completely different than when I meditated a year ago, after having this like curry for dinner, and afterwards a piece of carrot cake. Next morning meditation is not so deep, it's not so pure, it's not so freely flowing than the meditation I have right now. After like right now, I will be, it's 5 p.m. I will be sitting for my evening meditation for an hour after having only juices. The experience is something completely different. So yeah, let's wrap up today's episode. I can only invite you to open yourself up to becoming more and more sensitive, more and more clean, more and more pure. It's a beautiful journey, and it begins where you are right now. Maybe you're super unconscious about food, and then it begins. It's a beautiful step to go vegan. It's a beautiful step to go vegetarian. If you are already a vegan, it's nice to start with green smoothie in the morning. It's nice to do a juice fast every now and then. But yeah, I want to highly encourage you to not settle, not be complacent, to overcome this addiction. It's like food is one of our strongest addictions. Like giving up the poke bowl for a tomato or or a coconut meat in the evening. At the beginning, it feels like I'm losing something, but you're gaining so much. You're gaining so much life energy. But that takes time. Your taste buds need to adjust. Your body needs to purify, to not crave the salt, to not crave this gluten, to not crave this processed food anymore. It takes time. It takes time. And we need to be patient. But the journey is so worth it. It's so worth it. So yeah, it goes beyond veganism. It goes beyond raw veganism. Yeah. In one of the next episodes, I want to share with you some experiments that I'm doing right now, and how I perceive my journey to continue, and what other chapters could potentially be waiting for me. Yeah, it's just getting started, but maybe this episode inspired you to really question what you put into your body. Water, unprocessed fruits, like fruits and green vegetables, like all the greens, all the fruits. This is everything we need. This is everything we need. Like this is a gift, the gift from nature. Like nature gifts us these bananas, nature gifts us these papaya, like these papaya leaves. This is so vibrant. And then the occasional pili nut or the occasional coconut here and there, and I'm so satisfied, and my body has everything it needs. It's so strong, it's so vibrant. A couple of days ago, I was watching a documentary about FC Barcelona, and the players, they did a push-up challenge, and they said, like, okay, who can do 50 push-ups? And then one did 35, one did 40, one did 45, and then Robert Lewandowski crushed the 50. And I was like, really? I'm doing 50 push-ups in the morning. Like, This morning I did 100 push-ups, not in one set, like a couple of sets, but I'm doing 50 push-ups, like I'm just doing it. And these like professional footballers, and I'm like, okay, wow, wow, that's unusual. Like the amount of strength that your body develops when it's so pure, when it doesn't waste this insane amount of energy for getting rid of the chicken and the rice you had for lunch before your huge match. Yeah. Okay, I will stop now and enjoy my afternoon meditation and enjoy my afternoon papaya. Looking forward to that. Thank you for diving into this insanely important topic with me. This topic that has the potential to change everything in your life when you embrace it with an open mind and an open heart, and when you're willing to do experiments. Let me know what emerged for you. I'm very curious to hear from you. As all the episodes, this is living in the gift economy as well. So if you feel the urge to contribute, if this brought any value to you, if this contributed to your awakening, to your ascension, then I totally appreciate any contribution you make for the work that I put out there. In the links and the show notes, you can contribute. And yeah, that being said, thank you. Thank you for your curiosity. Thank you for your openness. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for continuing our journey all the way to the end and not not closing this episode because maybe I said something that triggered you. Thank you for your open-mindedness. Let me know what emerged from you. Sending love from Bali. Looking forward to our next time together in the Truth Podcast. Cheers with the green juice in my hand and a wide open heart. Sending love. Bye-bye.